Now it's just 18 days to Christmas, and the Christmas mood is high and the excitement is very high. But as the day draws closer, the best Christmas package that can be delivered to each and every South Sudanese citizen is peace. So what is the security plan this festive season? Well, to answer this and more questions is the acting spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, Colonel James Dak, and welcome on the show. All right, just to proceed, what does the festive season security plan look like?
Yeah, actually, last year, the year 2016, it was the only year since the crisis of 2013, which was highly well celebrated. Mm-hmm. There was no shooting. There was no report of unknown gunmen. Mm-hmm. People slept well. The midnight mass was celebrated. And the Christmas finished peacefully. Mm-hmm. Even we were honored by those of SEPCO. We were given a certificate of recognition as a part of civil society in regard to the Christmas of 2016. For the coming Christmas, we wish it would be more far secure, mm-hmm. and more better than the one of 2016. Our work plan is that we have five sectors. These five sectors, we have joint integrated police force, mm-hmm. which is composed of Southern Sudan National Police Service that include prison service, civil defense, and fire brigade, and prison. And then we have SPLA, and we have national security. Mm-hmm. All these forces are divided into five zones in various areas of Juba. They patrol at night, physical patrol, and also they have cars. And then besides, we have also the five units, the Gumba Police Division, mm-hmm. Molikia Division, Muniki, and Gudeli. And then we have Referendum, Cor William, and Mio Saba. Mm-hmm. Our forces will be deployed in all this area to be alert and to keep on vigilant checkup all the time. We will have forces to attend Christmas celebration, the midnight mass, and various congregations. People will be searched before entering to the church to secure that they are not carrying arms. The roads will be also on checkpoints. Forces will be deployed. And thank God the president has launched
surveillance
CCTV,
cameras.
Mm-hmm. which is also being supported by the Israel firm. They have 11 dawned. Mm-hmm. And these 11 dawn will also assist us in keeping the security of the town, as well as the issue of the light. They say the electricity will be launched also on the 17th, and on the 23rd, the Juba will be on lighting on this district. Mm-hmm. So all in all, our forces are working hard, and we always have meeting every Thursday to review the Christmas program.
All right. Now this, you've been talking a lot about the Juba situation here. Now let's talk about highways, because a lot of people will be traveling this Christmas going to their homes and villages. What plans are there for travelers? How safe is it going to be for them?
Yeah, actually it is unfortunately that there have been problems on highway, the way to Bor and the way to Torit and New Muli and the way to Yei. Mm-hmm. But now we have designed a mechanism that there will be a escort force. This escort force will have a center, a checkpoint center, for those who are traveling to New Muli or traveling to Torit or wherever. Mm-hmm. Then they will go with the envoy and matter so that they are not intercepted on the road. So this is one of our main plans. But for any individual who will travel without notice on what is within our capacity, then he will have to face the risk. But we will have a escort force, mm-hmm. for all those who will be leaving Juba and for those who are coming to Juba to attend the celebration.
All right, so your advice is for the people not to use the roads without the security convoy.
Why not?
All right.
But also to keep us informed so that we tell them how safety the road is.
Okay. And safety, security, safety for the people and their properties is very essential right now, and it has been. But for some reason, this has not been the case. It has been very difficult for the security organs to protect the people and their properties because we've heard of the unknown gunmen coming and looting of properties. What assurance do you have for our listeners that them and their properties will now be safe?
We are actually mandated in the Transition Constitution 211, Section 155, that we have to keep the security of life and the property of every citizen of the Southern Sudan to combat any crime that happens. Mm-hmm. We are trying our level best. Of course, these days there have been some organized criminal activities trying to lynch people and trying to search houses of people, but also it needs contribution for the community. But police alone, without the backing of the community, it will not be easy for us to combat these crimes. So we are relying on community policing, that every citizen who sees that there is something fishy or there is a certain organization of people who are trying to cause havoc, and then they keep us informed. In regard to ungunmen, who is ungunmen? Is ungunmen is our people. And in this ungunmen, it is us to tell us, the police, that there is somebody who is carrying an arm or there is somebody who has a bad intention. And this is where we can come in. But all in all, the rate of the crime is not like before. I think the situation is calm. And these gunmen, we are running after them.
Yes, Colonel, the police themselves have been accused on some occasions of soliciting or taking money from people sometimes on the streets, and when people are traveling before they let you go, like, you know, on the streets in Juba. Now, the police that you're going to deploy, who are these police, and are they well trained that they will just be very friendly to the citizens as the citizens go ahead with their celebrations?
Yeah, before time, we had capacity building run by our partners, the Ampol Police, the Ampol Wollam Police, as well as UNDP. And we have made some advocacy, and we have given them what a professional police means and how a police should be having harmony with the citizens. And those which we are going to employ, of course, in a house, you can have that all the children good. Some children always will intend not to disobey the discipline of the house. But all in all, we are disciplining them. And we wish for the best.
Yes. As a citizen, if I feel dissatisfied by the service of a police, maybe he harassed me on the streets, maybe he did not treat me well, where, how do I handle this kind of cases? Is there a mechanism that I can actually report this particular police to the, you know, top authorities of the police so they can be able to discipline this police?
Yeah, you hit on a hard issue. You know, the issue of silency in regard to our taboos and beliefs, especially in regard to gender-based violence, when a woman is harassed, she's shy to come up with the issue. Our doors are opened. Our doors are open 24 hours. You have right to come and approach us, whether in writing or physically. And we also are designing an identity card of each police, and he should have an identity card. And we are even changing the uniform before time, so that the perpetrators or the assailants can be identified. Being it, if it is a traffic fellow or whoever confronts you for bribery, you take his physical features and you come to us, and we will monitor this, and he will be disciplined.
Yes,
we have this advocacy of silency, which has to be eradicated.
Yes, are you telling us the uniforms that the police are going to have will be having their name tag, maybe, and numbers, so that I can easily know that, well, so and so was the one at this place in this joint who did this to me?
Correct.
All right.
This is one of our pillars and we wish it will be implemented before Christmas.
Right. And since we are talking about the festive season, we know how busy the festive season is, and the motorists will be very busy trying to collect their last pennies. Are there any arrangements with regards to traffic, you know, with regards to the traffic? Are there any specific arrangements in that direction?
Yeah, there is. There is. The traffic will be also in collaborating with the task force we talked, the security sectors who are going to be deployed in the five zones within Juba. The traffic also will take that dimension. All the checkpoints will have cars, traffic cars, that also to see that because people tend to over excitement, drunkenness, and over speeding, then they will be controlled. So they will be working hand in hand with the security sectors, those of the traffic.
All right. Colonel, just before we conclude this interview, you did mention earlier in the beginning the launch of the drones and the surveillance cameras, which will help in the security. Explain for us how this is going to work. Do we have enough centers that, you know, these drones can be controlled and easily, crime can easily be, you know,
detected or
addressed?
Yeah. Actually, this culture is new, this security culture of self-detective surveillance. And always in the start, you will have some gaps and challenges. We have now 11 cameras which are going to be deployed, and we are supposed to have 150. Mm-hmm. And with all these 11 cameras, we are targeting the areas where we have reports in regard to crimes. And these areas will be on surveillance 24 hours. So this camera will be a great help. For the first time, there will be some gaps. But as time goes, these things will cease.
Right. And just a follow-up on these cameras, because I'm sure they'll be on the main road. There was a time I was conversing with one of my colleagues, and they said, well, if it is on, I mean, that will help the crimes probably on the road. So what happens in the healers, in our residential areas? Because, I mean, what plan do you have for the residential areas?
Yeah, our economy is a big problem because of the crisis of war. Juba need more demarcation, and this is one of the greatest problems we, the organized forces, are facing. Because when there is an accident in Gure, for my forces to reach Gure, the roads are not demarcated and the roads are not asphalted, and then we have problem of reaching to that route. As you said, this issue of how we are going to patrol or try to see, to reach to the people with these bad roads. And those people who are, even the criminals, they use this opportunity of where we are supposed to have hot spot, like the one of Khartoum, where you have 7-7 or 5-5 vehicles on the standby.
Yes.
Instead for me to go and take over in Munich, I will have about five before reaching Munich on the checkpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to ask. What happens to our 777? Are they still operational, or is there any plan to make them operational again?
What's that?
The 777, the police, you know, these police
patrol
who are on standby. You just call it, you dial the number 777, and that goes right away to the police.
Yeah,
there was a time they went down completely.
Yeah, true. They are the one now working in collaboration with the civilian, the Israel firm of the camera CCTV. It is actually launching within the premises of 7-7. And their forces distributed all over with the Jeep force, joint integrated force. 7-7 has already come back to survive. We have also another task force stationed in Bulog. They are combat force. At any time, they are ready to come to the scene of the offense. So the 7-7 will be operating, and it is operating.
All right. Finally, what could you like to tell us, your final message when it comes to the security arrangements in Juba during the Christmas?
Yeah, with God's help, I wish the Christmas of 2017 will be better than the one of 2016. But I will stress that the citizens have to keep vigilant and to keep in cooperation with the police, and to come forward with anything that is fishy, which the things that needs to be reported.
Mm-hmm.
They have to keep the advocacy of the silence, because without them we cannot go through.
Yes, and finally, yes, you have a question.
Just before you go, there's this recent security issue. There were gunshots at one of a bakery in Juba yesterday. I mean, someone out there would really want to know what actually happened. Could you just tell us more about that? And also the issue about land grabbing in Gudele. We have been, you know, we have been running around chasing for this, and it's a great opportunity that you are here. Probably you'll help us, you know, give us more updates on those two.
Yeah, unfortunately, the issue of yesterday, the summary has not yet come to my vicinity. But the little I could say is that it was the accident had been done by our policeman who belongs to operation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our people are traumatized in one way or another. Economically, spiritually, morally, physically.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman is a well-off fellow.
Mm-hmm.
He was trained in the north, and he has even been doing part-time work to support his economic station.
Mm-hmm.
It is unfortunate that he killed his own friend and his collaborate friends, and the other three, including he also shot himself. And the bodies are now in the mortuary, and the investigation is still going on. What is the really that triggered him to commit such an offense?
All right. So the person who actually caused the incident is a policeman.
Yeah, and he shot himself also. This is triggered because of, you know, the circumstances we are facing.
Right. And now the other one, the incidents of robberies and land grabbing in Gudele.
Land grabbing in Gudele, where the Sultan, the chiefs, confronted with the municipality area. Of course, as the constitution says, the land belong to community. And then these people are resisting that we have to make demarcation so that they can get services, water and light. And you know, they've been occupying it without land lease and without municipality orders. And they were given orders to evacuate so that this area is demarcated. So they resisted. So sometimes we are mandated to use force where the law tells us to use force, but it has been solved.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Colonel James Stack, for giving us all these updates. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. It's a pleasure.